Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hola, hola.
Welcome to Dare We Say.
Woo!
We're so happy to have you. Today, we have one of the most special people in the entire world on our podcast. She is just about everything under the sun, an actress, a CEO, just an icon and an amazing friend. Her name is Peyton List, and our conversation with her was really special because I feel like you got to see a new perspective from her that you may have not seen and or heard in the past.
Yeah, she dropped a lot of gems. We got to know her more. It was really special. And
it was intimate.
We sat here and we kiki'd as we do on the pod. And it was special to have someone come into that and just be so present and open to talk with us crazy little girls.
It was so fun. So
it's so rare to find a girl like her. So Peyton, we love you.
And let's,
thank you.
Let's get into it.
Yay.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Oh, shit, fuck. Okay. You guys, we have an extremely special guest with us today.
Oh, my God.
She means so much to me. She's an actress. She's an entrepreneur. She's giving CEO, actually, of recent times. She's a dog mommy of many doggies. And she's literally my childhood bestie and family member for life. Her name is Peyton List.
Woo! Thank you for that.
Welcome. Yay! Can you guys all clap? Clap.
This is so surreal.
Thank you.
How
I'll slip
are you?
You guys a check after.
How are you doing? Welcome. How are you feeling this morning? You look adorable. Are you wearing Play Beauty on the eyes right now?
Yes.
Imagine you're like, no, it's Fenty.
Imagine. Yeah. I'm screaming. I would too. I'm like, I love trying every single makeup brand.
You're so good.
Yeah,
I could actually tell it was Play just by the camera because I was like, is that a shimmery purple?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's one of the nicest purples I've seen on a makeup brand to this day. So,
wow.
Play, beautiful. Slay.
Wait, I need to. Do you guys all have products? Because I need to give you guys all products.
Oh,
wait, stop.
I should have brought it. Here. I'm so weird about it. I'm so weird about like
plugging yourself and putting your.
You should be.
Because if you have a good brand, it's not embarrassing.
It's like we did like a cast interview with like Vanity Fair and they showed me the questions and like a couple of them were Play Beauty related. And I was like, like I just like tossed them aside because I was like, I don't want to talk about the brand right now. And then I felt weird about it. Like I should because it really is like something that I stand behind.
But, yeah.
It's like an unfunny person asking you to go to their like stand-up show. But like if you're funny, it's funny. You know?
Whoa.
Like Yasmin.
Yeah.
It's like you're afraid to do it, but then if you have stuff to back it up, it's like it's good. And I famously was lucky enough to be a part of the campaign for
Play Beauty.
That
was so nice of you to come. That was so fun.
Remember, that was such a chaotic day where I had come from set, stolen the wig from.
Didn't you crash a car that day or something? Like in the scene?
In the scene, I crashed the car, guys. We need to clarify because on this podcast, we talk about my vehicular problems quite a lot.
There's so many.
Including,
I saw your story the other day.
Oh, when someone wrote
a cunt?
When someone said that I parked like a cunt. Yes.
Yeah.
Honored I was. And then mid-recording, we thought I was getting towed, but I wasn't. But yeah, anyway, we're so happy that we have you here. And you mean so much to me and now everyone else.
So grateful to know you. Like, who would have thunk?
We just hung out with you last weekend and it was so fun. And it just reminded me of like how much history we have. And I just wanted to have you on this pod because I feel like no one has really seen or heard your adult perspective in a format that is just a little bit more casual and less formal than I feel like the interviews that you've done in the past, which may be more polished. And I think we just wanted to hear like the real Peyton and bring that to the table. So with that being said, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So let's start at the very beginning. So you were born in Florida, which we probably don't write on our bodies.
But it makes sense for me.
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
No,
I have to
step
in
and say, no, ma'am, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It's either like upstate Washington or Oklahoma. There's no in between. Does that make sense?
Like, I think she's saying you have small town charm.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. Yeah, small town charm.
Shut up. I mean, my mom's from Texas, so I feel like that has rubbed off on me.
She does have like that Texas sweetness, but also the bless your heart, like I could fuck you up.
Kind of. Oh, I love a bless you heart, mama.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you were born in Florida and then you grew up in New York City. How was that like?
It was wild. Like, we moved to Brooklyn when I was 4 from Florida and still had family in Florida. But I mean, I had to, like, it's a lottery system in New York, and I feel like schools are so competitive. And I had to, like, just, my mom was like, just go in and, like, get into the school, like, figure it out. So I feel like I was, like, auditioning from a young age and, like, figuring it out. I just went in and, like, sweet talked the principal and then got into the school.
In hindsight, looking back, do you like LA more? Do you like New York more? Like,
now I feel like I feel like when you spend your formative years, like your teenage years somewhere, I feel like I've become so much more LA. But I do want to go back to Brooklyn for the summer because I love a Brooklyn summer. I feel like
we love a Brooklyn Bushwick summer.
I actually do too. I really like New York in the summer.
Right?
But I feel the same about LA. Like moving here when I was like 10, 9, 10, I feel like I had my like favorite memories out here that I definitely like LA better than Northern California. But before you booked Jesse, you booked two other things, right? And the first thing was when you were 8 years old. What was that?
Yeah.
Because I remember when that came out, 27 Dresses.
Yeah.
I was like 5 years old.
My God.
And that movie feels like a 90s film.
Yeah, it does. It has that nostalgic. I haven't watched it in a bit, but I just remember absolutely like defining myself by doing that. I remember just being so excited.
Oh.
Yeah. What was that like being on set for the first time? And
I mean, I just thought it was like playing. I just had so much fun. Like the director just like took me under her wing and was so sweet. And like,
it was a female director?
Yeah.
It was a female director. That's so cool that your first job was like with a female director.
It was really
cool. Rare.
It was so safe. And like, I've been so fortunate to have like such kind experiences, I think.
On set,
which
is rare, I feel like, because a lot of people might not be able to say the same, especially with being taken under people's wing.
Right.
Usually they're taken under their other things and they're uncomfortable and they're not taken care of well.
It's not the people's wing, that's not the wing.
No, I met my best friend though on that movie. Like we played sisters and she just acted in that one movie and then that was it. And we just became like sisters ever since.
That's so cool. And then what was the thing in Detroit that you spoke about?
Oh, in Vancouver.
Oh, it was Vancouver. It wasn't Detroit. Why am I obsessed with Detroit?
I mean, I did go there once, but it's like a poor Lifetime movie that I don't talk about.
Okay, we're not
going to
bring it up.
That's actually what we're talking the whole episode about.
Yeah. Just to promote that Lifetime movie. Wait, so you went to Vancouver, and was that during middle school?
Yeah, that was during middle school, I guess. Yeah. The end of middle school. So I like finished it up there on that set on Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And filmed that in Vancouver. So it was like during my summers, like end of middle school time. And yeah, it was like summer camp.
And were you a fan of the like book before you went? Because I remember when we were young, I feel that was like the biggest thing.
Did you read?
Insane.
Did you guys read them?
Oh,
I don't read, but
I did. I read not all of them because there ended up being so many. They were like Doonie B. Jones and stuff. There were so many. But I did read them at the time. And then you were iconically in the film with the cheese and all.
No, the cheese and all. And can I just say, Roderick was one of my sexual awakenings. I don't care what anyone says. Roderick, old brother Roderick. I was like, what is this feeling in my pants?
Oh my God.
I cannot.
I feel like there's things that TikTok has like taught me about, just like things come out later. And that is one of the things that I'm like, oh my God. So many people were into Roderick that I had no idea about.
I'm screaming.
I did not know that was a thing.
Me either.
I
learned just right now.
That was just a niche thing that Yasmeen just said.
No.
But that's crazy.
That's a thing on TikTok.
I'm starting a trend. Was Roderick your sexual awakening? Yeah, you're nice.
I can't. I never heard that. Speaking of like all of these really dope things that all I watched and personally was a fan of, which I think is so cool. Does it feel weird, like, watching your childhood, like, reflected back to you, like, in these kid things? Like, whether it's Diary of a Wimpy Kid or 27 Dresses or Jesse. And, like, how did Jesse feel different from the things that you had done prior?
That's a really good question. It felt different because it was a multi-cam sitcom. And there was, like, live laughers, like, paid to sit there and laugh in between our jokes. So that was weird because I was just used to, like, single cam silence. Like, it felt more personal. But then having, like, a live studio audience and everything, like, you know, it was just—
It's like a live play.
We had to be— I had to be trained to learn how to just like cheat out and always be like playing to the camera and doing that because I was just more natural before it. So I felt like I had to learn how to be, how to do that, that style. And then I had to learn how to break that style. So that was hard.
Which some people can't do. And it's, I'm so happy you brought up the laughers because I think it also creates like a false sense of like security and confidence at that young age.
You think you're funny, but people are being...
They're being
paid
to laugh at you. And I feel like everyone, like the Disney kids with like the egos of that era. And one thing that I will say, like you have remained one of the most humble people that I've known since the beginning. And I remember when, I don't know if obviously everyone knows this, like we met on Jesse on that show. And that was my very first thing ever. And that was like my,
what?
Like, yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
I had only
you
done.
You just were too comfortable.
I was just a little.
That was your
of,
set.
Speaking of egos. Speaking of egos.
I'm screaming at that. That's,
but I remember that was my like Sunny with a Chance like moment where like I remember watching the premiere of Jesse on my family's couch with my entire family in Davis and seeing all of you guys and then moving to LA and auditioning for it and like booking it and then coming and my mom was like, this isn't a real pen. She was like shocked that it wasn't a real apartment in New York. And your mom was like, no, bitch, like you dumb idiot. And like
not
your mom
sounds about right.
Your mother definitely took my mom under her wing along with Sky's mom. But yeah, that was it was just very interesting. But why do you think you never like I don't know, became a crazy person or like
I tried.
Like stayed so grounded in those moments because you definitely were like a heartthrob. Mm-hmm. In your era, which is crazy to say, but it's true.
Oh, God. I didn't realize at all, like, anything. I don't know. Like, my mom would just be like, bitch, shut up. Make your bed.
Yeah,
like,
humbling. So humbling.
I don't know. She would just be like, what are you talking about? I don't know. I feel like my family just would be like, shut up. None of this is real.
They would bring you down to earth.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It felt very much like a little bubble, and it was, like, weird that other people were watching it, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Do you think it's because social media wasn't as big that back then that you didn't feel like the pressure of everyone looking up to you? Because I remember like everyone was in love with you, including my brother who asked you to prom. Do you remember that?
I do. I wish I could have gone to prom with him.
Yeah, I think you said yes, but I think it didn't work out or something.
Yeah, I remember I had like two proms that I was supposed to go to, which would have been like my proms that I would have gone to and I never went.
What about Disney prom?
Disney prom.
What was
yes.
I don't think anyone knows what Disney prom is.
Yeah, wait, can you explain that? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, Disney would invite all of the Disney kids to a Disney prom or to a Disney dance to make some sort of normalcy because that was like our high school.
Yeah,
you know,
shit.
Even on the back lot and everything, it's like you run into people from other shows and that feels like, oh, your high school experience. Like, because you're in your classroom with like the five kids that are on your show or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you would come for the week, it was like,
it was like a substitute.
We got a new
something.
Kid in the villa.
Like, I'm so sorry.
The Love Island of Disney.
But Josie brought up something very important. I want to bring that up. It's like social media. You are part of the social media whirlwind that we live in now. But also you weren't at a young age. And specifically about being a woman and this transition of growing into the woman that you are today with the whole world looking at you. How has that affected you today?
It's made me very socially awkward. And, you know, I think social media scared the shit out of me as a kid because I just saw the dangers of it so quickly. You know, there's so many weirdos that are attracted to children. And I think
100%.
Seeing that on...
Especially when you're on a children's show.
Yes.
And I remember seeing the comments that I would see and just growing up a little too fast.
Mm.
And it was just scary. Like, I had a stalker for a bit and, like...
Unreal.
On the soundstage, like, I remember seeing, like, his picture and by, like, the security gate and everything. Like, it was just a rude awakening for me. Like...
It's not normal.
To be careful. And I just remember, like, looking over my shoulder when I would, like, go home all the time. Like, being paranoid as a kid.
That's so frightening.
Yeah, it was weird. And then I thought that was normal just to be so frightened. But, like, I feel like... Every female goes through a form of like this in some way, you know?
Sure. I think in some way, but I think certainly you're allowed to acknowledge that it's not fair and you experienced it on a much higher magnitude than much people do in their lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Which I think is really scary.
Yeah.
How do you feel like
you preserve your mental health now?
And good question.
You, like, as a woman in this industry, so successful, you know, like, you're not just an actress anymore. Like, you've become a multi-hyphenate with a beauty company and stuff. Like, how do you ground yourself? How do you, like, find peace? And, like, how do you, like, honestly get through the bullshit? Like, that is an awful thing for a child to deal with. Most adults can't say that they've dealt with the magnitude of eyes that you've dealt with, like, your whole life. So how, like, as an adult, has that changed since you being a kid? Like, what do you find your peace in? What grounds you? What relaxes you when things get crazy?
I feel like connecting with even, like, a safe, I just feel like even connecting with you guys, or, like, going out, you know, with friends and connecting with people has been able to ground me. And just, like, meeting real authentic souls. Like, lately, I've really been meeting, like, such good authentic souls and, like, really finding my people where it feels so safe. And they're just, like, just a reminder, like, you can literally be anything in this room or say anything, and there's no judgment. And just being so vulnerable has just been so nice.
Like, yeah,
there are good people, but it's just so hard to find them. And I just feel lucky that I found, like, a good group.
I'm really happy that you feel that, because I think a lot of people at your level that I've met or interacted with or feel a lot more isolated and a little bit more alone. They just don't seem to find their people. I think it's just harder. Why do you think they have a harder time? Or, like, when you have a platform, it's just you have a harder time.
Yeah, I feel like it's so easy to get blinded by people's intentions, I guess.
Intentions.
Yep. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, you don't know if people are genuine?
Yeah. I guess so.
I feel like also in LA too, right? I feel like there's so many people whose goals or reasonings to be your friend is not for the right reasons. And you find – what have you noticed that living in LA specifically too?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. But I feel like people must encounter that in every industry and everything. And, like – but, yeah, my friends lately, they're so – honest to a fault, to, like, a point where I just start laughing because I'm like, I cannot believe that just came out of your mouth, but I respect the hell out of it. Like, I just love how honest they are.
I love that, and that's what you deserve. That's how my friends are, like, constantly being humbled.
I'm screaming at that, looking at Alicia.
Yeah.
Why did I get the shine?
By my sisters, which I think is really important. But
how do you guys do it? Like, do you guys call each other out? And, like, how do you?
Oh, please. Honey.
do we call each other out?
Honey, you've met us.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't even feel appropriate to call each other friends. Because there's, like, that level of comfort and sincerity.
Of comfort.
Comfort. That is not. Please, comfort.
Espérate, that's not what I said.
But I agree. I think since the beginning, I think that's what attracted me to you and Yasin the most.
Because we say anything.
Was your guys' just honesty. And, like, I think having someone who, like, can just be upfront with you. Because I think the opposite is, like, then they're not seeing you as a full person if they're having to tiptoe around you or they're having to, like, earn your, like, respect or not respect, but, like, earn your admiration. I feel like that's when it's sort of ingenuine. I remember when I started college, like, the first 3 weeks I was there, everyone came up to me and wanted to, like, you know, be friends with me because I had, like, been on shows and had whatever small platform that I had. And then after the 3 weeks, no one gave a fuck about me. And I was like, you know I'm an actor, right? Like, you can try to use me. Like, I have an Instagram account with follower. And everyone was like, we don't give a fuck about you. Die, bitch. But it was – I had that experience on a small magnitude.
But that's how I feel. I feel the same. I feel like it's not like everyone's really, like, how much can someone really get? Like, there's – people are just here to be authentic now, especially, like – at this age, I don't know.
Yeah. No, what? I think you brought something up really important. Like, I've said this to the girls prior, but I feel like, because I'm 24, I hate that. But, you know, as I grow, and age is beautiful, but I feel like the older I grow, the more deep my relations are getting. And also, I'm making new friends that are outside of my circle. And I feel like the older we get, the less likely we are to venture out to make so many friends because we're so comfortable, which is fine, which is good. But I feel like, and that's something you were saying earlier about how the friends that you have now make you feel so safe and make you feel so heard and seen in your fullness. And I just feel like that's so incredible right now. And I feel like if people listen to this, to, like, not only just be comfortable with what you have, but also, like, go with the intentions of making new friends, making new relationships, fostering these new connections with people.
Yeah. You get what you put out, which I think yeah. is really important. And do you feel like you're still fighting those things that left an impact on you as a kid? Or do you feel like you've, like, let those parts go? Certainly when making friends, but, like, when romantic connections or even just friends in general, is that an issue?
It is a little bit. I mean, I've met some really positive, beautiful people, especially in this industry lately.
Yeah.
Just actors who really just want to help and, like, create and do their job. And I've been so just – they've helped rewire my toxic thoughts and brain. And I realized I was still hearing thoughts of people saying, don't trust them. Like, they're out to get whatever, you know, those sort of things are being told to, you know, you feel like gaslit as a kid. If there's like another actor who's competitive, like you don't understand what's going on. Right. But I feel like I've just been working in very positive environments and like changing that. So I feel like it's been really nice.
When you were young, I feel like you were so looked at all the time. That, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you had to kind of develop a sense of I don't give a fuckness in order to, like, live your life without feeling like you're walking on eggshells.
100%. Incredible. Actually, now I can go from here and I can say that, yes, playing that character on Cobra Kai and, like, playing someone that is so strong and changing. I loved that those creators gave me the opportunity to change sort of, like, the narrative around myself. They were like, oh, we loved taking this Disney princess and, like, sort of just have letting you fight, and it was fun. And when people accepted that character, then I felt liberated to be more myself because I was like, I am more of a bitch. Like, I can be, and it was like incredible. It was freeing for me. I was just like, cool, people accept this. This is definitely a part of me. So I feel like I can joke around more with people when people come up. Like, we actually just have like amazing, hilarious interactions. Like, I find just like people. Whenever someone watches something, like, it's always a funny experience, and I enjoy talking to them. It's like the weirdest,
most random experience. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that show also has like a really big fan base, much like Jesse, but in a different way.
In a really different way, yeah, because I came in the second season, so it was like obviously already established from the Karate Kid.
I didn't know
Kid.
That.
Yeah.
Also, that show was such a like giant hit, and an unexpected hit too, because it was a YouTube original.
So unexpected.
And then became Emmy nominated or Emmy winning, right? Did it win an Emmy?
I know.
No, okay. Well, you know what? It became Emmy nominated.
Yeah, you know what?
It became an Emmy nominated. It's just seriously several Emmy nominations though, which is like really exciting.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it was nominated for like best comedy series is like the biggest honor a show could get.
Yeah. I mean, the showrunners were just like huge fans of The Karate Kid. And so they were roommates like in college and they just created this show with Billy and Ralph. And are the perfect people to do it. Because, like, what better people to do a sort of pick up something where it left off than actual fans? Like,
yeah.
They know what the people want to see because they want to see it.
I've always known you to be that, like, kick-ass type energy. But you're so right. When you're forced to be that, like, bubblegum princess type person,
I was, like, a people pleaser. So I just thought, I want to play this character for them when they meet me sort of thing. And it's like, that's a little toxic.
But I obviously was just admiring your Instagram. And I was like, the relationship you have with your brother is just so precious. Like, being from New York and being Latina, I'm super family oriented. So I really admired that you are that with him and your family.
I love that you brought up Spencer because I think that, I think a lot of people know at this point that you have a twin. But was it easier to go through life with a twin or was it harder?
Aww.
Because you had someone like a mirror up to you?
No, he was not a mirror. Thank God.
Okay.
Are you guys very different?
Yes, we're so different.
Tell us more.
He is insane. Like, such a, like, wild child. Like, we shared bunk beds, and he would torture me growing up. Okay. Like, we would fight. He would beat me up. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Was there that brotherly, sisterly rivalry?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, we were super competitive. But then, like, we got put on a basketball team together. So that kind of,
formed a different bond. Team.
Yeah.
Very progressive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It really was. Because I was terrible. I was like, maybe there's a reason I shouldn't be on this damn team. I wasn't scoring any points.
You know what? You were a team player. We respect that.
Exactly.
We respect that.
I brought a lot of energy.
Was it hard to, like, bring boys around because your brother was there?
Yes, because I always fell in love with his best friends.
Wait.
That's like, song. That's he was like,
I didn't think that's where this was going.
He was like, I'm going to have to drop another friend.
What do you mean? No, so your kid was like his best friends?
Yes.
That was like your thing?
That was my thing. It felt safe.
Well, they were just around.
They were around.
Like, if he liked them,
I'll probably like them too, so, but in a different way.
He would bring, so he would bring them to like set or something.
Yeah, he'd bring them to set, or they'd be like, maybe their sibling was like working on another show or something. And I would be like, this is my, the love of my life.
That's a journey. Does he act as well?
He does, yeah.
That's like, did you have your first relationship when you were really young or not till you're older? Like your first relationship?
I guess when I was, yeah, older. Older. Like I always had crushes and everything, but what about you?
I've never been in a relationship.
That's insane.
That is with a human.
Oh, I'm dying.
I have one with my bank
with
account.
With an AI or?
With my career and my bank account.
Funny enough, I didn't like actually start dating until I got to college. Once again, like we were talking prior, I was just boring and like stayed pretty confined. You were a famous star as a kid, but even like acting and feeling like that adult aspect of life made me feel like I couldn't date, like with auditioning and with school and all of those things. Did you feel that way as well? Like I felt like it just wasn't a priority and it wasn't my time. Even now, frankly, sometimes I'm like, is this lifestyle conducive to prioritize romance at some point in my life? Do you feel that way?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I feel weird. I do for sure. It feels unfair to me to bring someone into it because I'm like, welcome to the circus. Like, I don't know if someone normal would understand this. Mm. Like, I don't know. I feel if I date another actor, I'm like, okay, you're out for yourself and your job as well.
Yeah.
You're prioritizing yourself because I don't want to date anyone who's prioritizing me because I just am scared.
We can't do the same.
Exactly.
Every time I did tapes with Alicia, because I hate doing tapes, I can never audition on tape. I'm like really bad on tape. But every time I would do tapes with Alicia, I would really get
you
into it.
You act for your life.
And I would pray.
She's in a Yale seminar. And I can tell too.
One time I had to do a tape with Alicia completely naked because of how hot she keeps her house.
Okay, Peyton, I'm glad that you're here for this because
it was 80
how
degrees.
Did you think that I could focus when this girl had not one slither of piece of clothing
it
on?
Was
she was being so dramatic.
It was 83 degrees in the house and we were in the attic of her home. We were in the I don't know why she did that to me.
You know what? You're not here to watch us fight because that's what this will become. Because she did, she sequestered me and I had to do the tape with her fully naked because I had to turn it in.
I need to join this friend group.
I need to sit naked behind Jessie.
You were inducted. I remember when, I feel like we've always clicked though. And one thing, like I said before, like I've just have always felt supported by you.
Okay.
And I remember getting into Play Beauty because I want to ask more about that. But like when we were on the set of that, we both got emotional. Do you remember at the wrap?
Yes.
And we both started crying.
That before coming on to this. And I was like, oh God, I hope it wasn't too much because I just got so emotional.
Oh my God.
You were there.
It wasn't too much at all. To me, it made me feel so loved because I think, even though when we were young and like I was obviously a guest on that show, I think I like was filled with like crippling fear and anxiety that like I was just like I was also reminded constantly by many people that was like not my place and that obviously I was a guest in that space. And you always made me feel so loved. And I think because of the dynamics of that show, we couldn't really be close friends. Mm. Until we were older.
Yeah.
I think we needed to like find each other again.
I know.
And like
I'm so happy we
when
did.
We had that moment, like it made me emotional too because of how much love I have for you and just how safe I've felt with you my whole life. Like I've never doubted like my safety with you or my comfortability with you. So I wanted to say that to you.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you've always felt comfortable with me. That's like my number one thing with people is I just want them to feel not judged and like I just want to be like a safe place for everyone to come to. And I'm so happy that it felt that way because I always am scared that it wasn't that way. Maybe because I felt that way for so long with other people that I'm like I've like gaslit myself. So I'm really happy that you felt that way because I've always been your biggest fan. Your biggest fan. I just think the world of you.
Thank you.
It's insane. I really do. I always talk about you to everyone.
I'll never forget you first mentioning Peyton, like randomly, I think, when we were filming Saved. This was way before I'd ever met you. But when she had spoken about like her times on at Disney, you were always like a name that was associated with so much joy and support, you know? And yeah. I commend you, kids. LA isn't easy as an adult. I just got here, what, 4 years ago? And I have, and you know, so I know nothing. I feel like an LA baby. But even in the time that I've been here, I'm like, it can get hard in regards to people's expectations, in regards to judgment, in the ways how I feel perceived and I feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. So I commend you guys for really like weathering the storm and overcoming not only the industry, but just growing up in a place that isn't always that easy, you know? And it seems like you guys have found your people in addition to just being beautiful, like humble souls. And you guys are just a lovely people. And I'm glad that you guys have had each other like during this process.
When we were all like pitching, who do we want to be our, like our first guest? And who do we want to have this full episode about? And Josie mentioned you. We were like, well, that's a no-brainer. Yeah. I feel like specifically watching you. No, that was a no-brainer because, and it wasn't like a discussion. Like we were just like, all right, we're done with pitches. We got what we wanted. Because specifically for me, like watching you, I watched you and Jesse, watched you in Cobra Kai, and then now you have different things like School Spirits, mm-hmm. And more a different genre than what you're used to or what you've always mm-hmm. been in. It's incredible what you bring to this. I said stage. I'm a BFA in theater performance, but what you bring to the screen is just something that you don't see a lot.
And throughout all of that, you've maintained this like sense of moral decorum that a lot of people don't. And one thing that really stood out to me, I don't even remember seeing this initially, but I always knew you to be someone who spoke up and stood your ground, was like when you were 18 years old, you released a piece like with Elle, where you talked about politics, and this is when Trump was running for president, and why you weren't voting for him. And I have what you wrote here, I think. It was really special. You said, I believe in equality. I believe that racism is a problem and we need to do something about it. I believe in a woman's right to choose because no one ever seems to tell guys what to do with their bodies, which is true. I believe I should make the same amount of money for doing the same job as a man. True. Even if this election won't affect you, it will. Which direction do you want the country to go in? How do you want America to interact with the global community? Are the questions you posed in that piece? And I thought that that was so special to be 18 years old and brave. Were you still on Disney at the time? I think so. You may have been. Yeah. You were on Bunked.
Yeah.
And
I was.
To do that is like kind of brave because of how much you're told, don't speak up, don't talk about these things, don't ruffle feathers.
Right.
Like how did you get the courage to do that and what ultimately motivated you to release that?
Well, thanks for recognizing that. That's so nice. I was really nervous to come out because somehow saying even those statements, which I think are just talking about equality, somehow that really pisses people off, which is insane. A woman should get paid the same. I posted that a few times and people have wanted to cut my throat. Like, I'm like, okay, if we are getting paid the same, then what's the issue?
Like fucking cotton candy. It's literally like saying,
yeah, I'm
it's
saying
like
unicorns are real, apparently, because never going to happen.
The bare minimum of things, equality, you would think.
Or like a woman's right to choose or whatever it is. Yeah, like, I was so terrified saying these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was your mindset back then?
I remember I asked someone I think it was one of the editors of Teen Vogue, because they invited me to one of their lunches or something. And I told her how scared I was to talk about politics at all, and I felt like it wasn't my place. And she was like, why wouldn't it be your place? And I guess that's kind of what, over the pandemic, it was like, it's everyone's place now to talk about it, and if you don't, then you're complicit. Was like, but I still feel like I look to other people first and like do my research, because I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone in like any wrong way. But I just felt like these were very basic concepts, and like when Trump was running, I just felt like we all had to say something. And also because so much of America like has watched Disney, and it's just like I felt like I had like a voice with people who I actually could speak to, who and maybe have a conversation. But I don't know, sometimes it feels like if people are dead set on something, like you're not going to change them. But
well, I have to say I commend you, like fully. I think it's hard enough to like stop a conversation at a dinner table with people that you know, let alone what you did, was take a stand as a kid and speak out and say, this is what's mm-hmm. right. This is what equality we should be advocating for. Like, I think that that's really special. And I just want to tell you, like, even if you didn't see it, like, firsthand, like, you sowed seeds. Like, God only knows how many kids saw their favorite Disney star talk about equality and talk about feminism, which is what you were advocating for at the time, and intersectionality. And I think your decision to do the hard things when your moral compass is telling you to, even when it's hard, really is a testament to someone's character.
That's what was really cool, too, about being at the play photo shoot, was, like, seeing all different types of people with different backgrounds there was just really beautiful and cool, especially as, like, a young girl who is white and, you know, has that platform. I feel like it's rare for people like yourself to want to speak out, because the fact of the matter is you don't really have to. I mean, as a woman, you're compelled to because you're affected by certain things. But in other ways, you could just sit idle and not put in your two cents, but you put your foot down and you're speaking up and you're being an ally and you're amplifying voices that are smaller than yours. And I think that is really commendable.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys find it? Like, how much do you go into politics, do you think?
My parents have always been really liberal and progressive. So it's always been a part of me. I think, like, I didn't even feel comfortable speaking up about, like, LGBTQ issues and stuff when I was, even, like, when I first met Alicia. Like, I just remember just not feeling confident in myself and feeling proud of myself. Mm. And I didn't really experience, like, pride until, like, a few years ago for the first time, like, just genuinely being proud of my own skin. But I think when I was able to do that, I was able to post more, because I think you need to be kind of comfortable with who you are before you, like, put yourself out there like that. And I think no matter who you are and speak about issues, because it's, like, a vulnerable thing when you're posting about stuff. Yeah. It's one thing to post about things that you care about that affect other people, but when it directly affects yourself, it's, like, you know,
100%. I feel like the stakes are higher, but it hits home a little bit more when it affects you.
Yeah. Because you have emotional stake. You're the one dealing with the oppression and then being asked to talk about it. It's a different way. And
100%.
I also think, you know, it's important to know we're told not to, all of us in this room. Like, you know, you're my beautiful Yasmin Manchester, but we're all told, like, not to talk about politics. Mm-hmm. And it's like what that awesome woman at that Teen Vogue told you. It's like, why not? Like, we all should be caring and stuff. And it makes you want to lead to asking you another question. Is there anything as of recent, right? Like, we've lived through a pandemic. We lived through the protests. Like, we've lived through a lot of things just within the recent years. Is there anything new that you are learning about yourself or the world that you think is, like, a recent revelation or new causes that you care about? Like, play itself, I want to commend the sustainability stance that you've taken.
We're a plastic neutral brand, so we clean up an equal amount to what we put out. And we just, and a lot of our palettes are paper and they're made out of 100% recycled material. I just couldn't make something myself that was damaging the planet. I just felt too guilty creating damage as well along with it. So that is something that I'm trying to constantly learn about and help with. Lately, I've just been trying to be kind, even just on, like, a personal level, like, go out of my way for other people, because I feel like it's when someone even just takes a moment to do that, it's like it changes everything. Like, it's just contagious.
Yeah, I agree too. I think, like, the smallest things that you don't even think of, like the connection, and it helps people, which I love. I want to pivot to school spirits though, because I'm so excited about that. How was filming that? Because that shit was dark.
Yeah.
Sorry, that line, that like shit that? Was dark. What
a, you're right, but the tone in which you said it, the inflection, that shit is dark.
I'm gonna say it. That was dark. How was doing that?
Yeah, it was interesting because I really related to a character that was dead somehow. Like, from the first scene, she's dead, and really woke up in the process of doing that show because I realized there was a part of me that was not really living. And the therapist even told me that. She was like, you were on autopilot.
Wait, there's a part of pain that wasn't living?
Yeah.
And the therapist, your therapist.
My therapist told me. Now I'm taking it out of the show and I'm taking it into me.
No, but please. Wait, no, please, please.
Yeah, there was a part of me that was on autopilot and I needed to wake up.
Tell us about that. Okay, how was that?
It was insane.
What do you think put you on autopilot?
I think just... I thought it'd be easier to deal with people in situations if I just didn't let anyone or anything in. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like breeze through and not even know what happened. Like I would go somewhere and just be like, all right, like move on. If anyone asked me to do anything, I'd be like, sure. Have no actual opinion on the person or the thing happening. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just choosing things that people I really care about or who I think are really good. But anyways, back to the show. Yeah, it was...
No, I love that show.
She's dead from the first scene, and she's so passionately trying to figure out what happened to her. And I was like, this girl really cares about her life. I wonder what that must be like.
Wow. I wonder what it's like to care and like living.
I wonder what it's like to care and love it and want to get back to it. And so, like, having to, like, fight to come back to find her life and with how many people cared about her... And how closed off she was. Like, she doesn't let – this character is the strongest person I've ever played. And, like, she doesn't let a single soul in. And I really learned from the creators because they went through so much trauma creating the show. Like, they loved – like, they had an alcoholic parent. And to get through it, they would watch Veronica Mars or, like, fun shows. And so we wanted to create something that was, like, a fun, like, escape from everything.
Right.
But my character also has an – alcoholic mother, and that's like her only parent, so she's had to be an adult a lot of her life, and it was really cool to just play this really broken but strong person, and I learned so much.
Yeah,
I learned so much through her and from them. It was like therapy.
I commend you for that. That is such a special thing to get to work on something and have it affect you in such an impactful way and have it change you for the better. I mean, usually it's the opposite. Like being on certain projects and stuff. Ooh. I feel like it like dements you. Was there like, and you can also tell me to shut up if this is too uncomfortable. Like, was there a point where like you realized you had to get off autopilot? Like, was there like a thought in your head or a certain turning point?
I was telling myself all the time, but I wouldn't get off of it. Mm. You know, like I was like, man, I should really wake up but I had to just go out and work so hard, you know, like I just needed to, I will still do it. Like I took a freezing cold shower yesterday and I'm like, wake up, wake up, wake up. Like I just need to tell myself, like, wake up to the world. Like, yes, there's hard things going on, but you can't just like tune it out.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is harder to do than it is to say.
Yeah.
But I think that even just watching you, I think people who have known you and certainly people who watch you could probably see that on you. I don't know, have you heard that a lot, that like you've changed in a way that's like just so beautiful and freeing?
Yeah.
How has that been?
It's been pretty wild. Yeah, you don't realize that there's something off about you either, or that there's something wrong. And then when people are like, wow, I like whatever energy you have right now, it's changed. And I'm like, I feel more myself again. Like,
you seem just settled and confident in your own skin.
Oh, well, thanks.
And just comfortable. And we love that.
Yes.
And we love that about you. We want more of you.
So more. Give me.
We have some fun questions to get into the end of this and to wrap this out.
Yeah.
And some fun ones.
Okay.
You mentioned, I think, in an interview that we read that you wanted to work with Margot Robbie. If you could, like, put her in any film with you, would it be, like... What would it be? Like a buddy cop comedy or like an older sister, younger sister thing, a lesbian rom-com?
Now the buddy cop movie just will knock it out of my head.
No, I mean, that could be cool. Sticks.
No, I have...
It could be mall cops.
I have absolutely no clue.
You just want to
part two? A sister comedy would be very fun. But I don't know. I just watched her in Babylon and I'm like, I don't know if I want to work with her, if I just want to watch her in awe.
I cannot.
That's also like phenomenal. Very much with bisexuality. Like, do I want to sleep with them or do I want to be them? Does that make sense?
What are you watching right now?
like, there's so many things I'm currently binging and it's keeping me from doing productive things. But what are your shows? Any films you've been obsessed with?
Or stuff you love to hate watch, because that is like a big thing for us.
Ooh. I mean,
but anytime I've been on a question, I always forget.
I've been on like a Lena Dunham kick. Like, I started at the like beginning of her career. The movie that she did before she started Girls. I don't know if that was like her way of getting Girls off the ground.
Is that
and
Little
made.
Furniture? Is that
yeah.
Tiny furniture. Tiny
furniture. Yeah. I loved it. And then I watched Sharpstick.
Mm. Yeah.
And I really liked that. But yeah, I love Girls and I love all of those shows.
It's Girls like, is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you?
Ooh, oh my gosh. I've seen a bunch of movies lately. Babylon, Puss in Boots, Last Wish, one of the best films of the year. You can't tell
That's
me anything
else. That's what everyone's saying. It's driving me insane.
Girl, you got to watch it.
Wait, did you say Puss in Boots is one of the best films of the year?
Yeah, and I stand by that.
I love that.
Thank you so much. Oh, I'm late. I'm so late.
And did you just say everyone's saying that?
Yes, everybody and their mother.
Oh, wow. I'm really out the know.
Banshees. What?
What you think Banshees of Isherin.
Yes, I just saw that. Whoa. Sad as fuck. But probably. Great film. Yeah. What did I think of Babylon? I would have loved to see like the black character storyline a little bit more written and like thought out, because the moments that I did see, I loved. I just felt like we didn't, just wasn't like holistic enough of like who he was. What else did I think? I thought all the performances were phenomenal. Diego Calva, the Latino lead. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I think he's like the future.
Mm-hmm,
what did you think of Babylon? I have so many thoughts. It's funny, I'm just trying not to spoil anything.
I had the exact same thought. But yeah. I obviously wouldn't.
I think it's a
lot. I said the same thing to my friend. I was like, that storyline didn't feel like it was fully, like, yeah. It was so beautiful. Like, when he was in the powder.
Yes,
in
when he was in the blackface. Yeah. Stunning shot.
That was, like, probably the most heartbreaking moment of the entire movie. It looked fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. I was in chills. And I was just like, we really didn't get that many scenes. But I think cinematically it's stunning. The performances are great. I just feel like there was so much being fit into one film. It couldn't do everyone justice. But Daniel, beautiful. Score, mm-hmm. beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you could ban one thing in the country, what would it be? For me, it would be fans. And I know that sounds outrageous.
Fans?
But
you're sick. Fans. You're sick. You're a sick girl.
She loves to be warm. She loves to
You're
be warm.
A sick warm. Girl, I want Alicia. I want every room to be 80 degrees. If you could ban one thing, what would it be?
Yasmin would be cilantro, right?
Oh, I genuinely, wholeheartedly believe that the world would be a better institution if cilantro.
It's
because
you
was
have
banned.
That gene. Don't do that.
I don't. But that's like not it, because I'm saying it right now. It doesn't add stuff. It tastes like soap. It's
for
horrific.
Me. It'd be Matthew McConaughey and Amy Duncan for me.
No.
Not people.
Greenlight. Why would you ban Matthew McConaughey?
Because he just gives me anxiety.
I enjoy him. I love a Matthew rom-com. But do you have one? What would you ban in the U.S. of A?
I wish we could all just convert to electric cars a little easier.
Tea. Oh,
like, you had a real answer.
Oil.
It's giving
you
me fuck fucking
oil.
Anxiety. Yeah,
you said Greta Thunberg.
That's
on
a really lame answer.
Oil.
Do you believe in online dating, and do you participate in it?
I don't really. I did for a bit, and then now I don't really. I mean, I know that a lot of people have met through it, but for me personally,
I don't think it's for everyone, because like online dating is really hard. But I also feel like it depends on the person, and it's always interesting because I was like, they say like by 23 you would have met the person you're gonna marry. I'm like, fuck that. Absolutely fuck that. I would rather die than marry someone I've already met now. Because
wait,
everyone,
who the hell said?
Have you
that?
Not heard that?
But no, but thank God. I think everybody has different things that float their boat. You know, for me it scares me. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, it does scare me a bit.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's just
online dating.
Oh yeah,
and
no,
I know so many relationships that are thriving because
same.
Of it.
I do too.
But
I do too.
For you, have you been like? Nah, because you're like, I don't know them or what?
Yeah, I've just had a couple of experiences where I'm like, I just get red flags once I'm in person with them. And like, they just haven't gone well. I mean, I had one that I thought the guy was like so genuine and sweet.
But boring.
But that was one.
You said but you did try. At least you tried, girl.
I did try. And then what I realized is I'm like, wow, I really need to know people for a long period of time. which is bad though.
That's it's good that you bad. Know that about yourself though.
Like we need to have like a mutual. That's why I asked if you had a mutual.
Some people don't do that. Yeah, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of online dating. I'm afraid of actors.
I'm scared someone's gonna. I think I've just seen too many shows where it's like
of catfish.
My husband ended up being a serial killer.
Well, it's like, true statistically. Like if it helps. Man,
no, true.
Statistically, husband literally are most likely to kill their spouse. But
terrifying.
It's interesting because I'm obsessed with catfish. So I'm like, when I was getting to the airport, I was like, this is either gonna be the most like the girl I've been talking to FaceTiming for the last 5 months, or it's gonna be an old man with a micro penis and a receding hairline.
Dios mío.
And then lo and behold, it wasn't.
Okay,
I love that.
What's your in and your outs for 2023?
Out is not fucking laughing at yourself. Like I have to laugh at myself. That's
so not laughing at yourself. So that's what's in.
So it's in. To it's laugh in. At yourself.
Laughing at yourself.
In is laughing at yourself. Out is taking yourself seriously. Mm.
Love that. Ins for me, my literal love of my life, my little sister Val. She told me the other day. She was like, this is the year of being. And I was like, you're so right. Like, we should just be. Because I feel like we're so worried about everything that, like, what's in is just being. If I'm worried about something, bitch, I'm just going to be.
Yeah.
If I'm excited about something, okay, I'm just going to be.
No, I agree. Like, in is rest. And
out is self-doubt and insecurity and men in finance. And I love that.
and that, ladies.
And that is our episode.
I think that's our in and out of 2023 from Alicia Del Sol, Pascual Peña, Josie Tota, Peyton List, and Yasmin Hamadi.
So thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
We love
me.
You dearly. Yes. Please come back.
This was so beautiful, truly. Thank you.
This was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We're so grateful. Thank you so much for coming and joining. And also, you have a home at Dare We Say Anytime.
Yeah. And everyone watch
maybe
out.
Maybe come be an audience member sometime.
Oh, my God. You're the live audience. You're like, yeah.
Please. Imagine we do that.
You can watch the
You can be our paid laugher.
Stand. Yeah.
Perfect.
To laugh at all of our
Perfect.
Jokes. So School of Spirits comes out when?
Comes out March 9th.
March 9th.
Mount Plus.
Yeah.
And then Cobra Kai.
And then Cobra Kai. Yeah. Who knows if we'll go back, but I think we will.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, babe.
Well,
be watching whatever.
And then you just filmed like another movie like a few months ago. And so you're just a boss ass bitch. So everyone follow her and be obsessed with her like we are. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you already are. So thanks, Pei.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yay. That was so fun. I literally am obsessed with her. She is just an icon and just a gem of a human being.
She was amazing. She inspired me truly. And it was just a good time. And it was cute to hear you guys reminisce about your childhood.
Listen. And I love that no bad stories of me came up.
Yeah, that was waiting for
one. Were you scared to be exposed, Josie?
Possibly. You tend to ask people who have known me since I was a kid, what are the worst things I've done to them?
In private. But it's okay. But you know why that trend started. It started because people would come to me and be like, Josie would bully me. And it was a trend. Like,
Alicia.
So many of her childhood friends would tell me these insane stories. So now I just like have a mental scrapbook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, also, can I just say her smile is more contagious than SARS 19.
Oh, she's stunning.
It's insane.
Yeah, she's really stunning.
Well, yeah.
Here's to Pretty
Guests our show.
With Pretty Minds. It was an awesome time. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you next Thursday.
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Tota.
And me, Yasmin Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña. Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor, and Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer. Our video producers are Matt DeGroot, Narm Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.